Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Chris Spielman, our play-by-play call of the day. At Pimlico Racecourse, Exaggerator down the stretch.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist in front. His adversary, Exaggerator, got a jump on him, and he's gone by to take the lead as they come to the gate pole. It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second, and then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Fifth time the charm for Exaggerator, winning the Preakness, first time at five tries. He has defeated Nyquist. It's Nyquist's first loss in nine races, and now they'll go to the Belmont, and there will be no aura around it. All right, let's bring in Chris Spielman now with Fox. Chris, welcome to the show, and congratulations on the move.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you, as always. Let's start with the move to Fox, because it includes, for the moment, the possibility of the NFL on Fox and also college football. How excited are you by the move?
Well, I'm excited about the opportunity, and I thought, you know, I've been at ESPN for 15 years, and they treated me well and were very loyal to me, and I like to think I was loyal to them, but the thing that caused the move mainly was an opportunity at ESPN. I was kind of stuck in, I guess you could make a strong argument for that number three position behind Kirk and Todd Blackledge, and both guys do a tremendous job, and they're going to be there for a while, so there was no place else for me to go. And so when the opportunity from Fox came along where I'm going to do all NFL next year, and we'll see once and if the official contract between Fox and the Big Ten comes about, then it seems like a natural fit for me to be a part of their Big Ten coverage in that area.
Yeah, I want to talk about, I'll get to the Big Ten in a moment, not the contract, but the conference in general. Obviously, I have the privilege in what I do at Penn State of working on my broadcast with Jack Ham. And I've always felt that coaches, quarterbacks, and linebackers made the best analysts because of the position on the field. How much did that position on the field, you know, allow you to really see the big picture that translates to being an analyst?
Well, I think, I probably was one of my strengths as a player, what I lacked in some type of physical ability. I was able to always see the picture, and my dad was a high school coach, and so I was watching film and sitting in meetings ever since I was about 4 years old, and my brother and I would tag along. So conceptually, I was able to grab everything, understanding blocking schemes and understanding where the ball was supposed to go and who was kicking out or who was logging in and all those types of things. And so it became second nature for me. So as a player, I always felt like I had the advantage on the offense, and I was able to play faster than my time speed. And as an analyst and sitting up in the booth, I can see things happen or anticipate trends or anticipate where something will go or where I would go if I were calling plays. And so that just comes from years and years of repetition, years and years of studying film and talking to people and what works and doesn't work and being able to apply it. But the key for me is not everybody can see it. And I think that good analysts do see it. And the other thing that they do very well, now not obviously not on radio, but on television, they don't tell you what happened. People can see on TV with their eyes what happens. As an analyst, if you're able to tell somebody why it happened in a way that they can explain it to their sister or their mother or their uncle at the dinner table, and that person understands it, then you're doing a good job.
In the second week of the 2014 season, you and I both know what happened with the Big Ten. Even though Michigan State played well, they lost at Oregon. Virginia Tech lost. Virginia Tech beat Ohio State. Utah beat Michigan. And there was a long list of things. Nebraska struggled. And the Big Ten at that point was considered, in the second week of 2014, DOA. What have you seen? What changed for the Big Ten, in your opinion, as you watched it play out?
Well, I mean, they kind of regrouped as the year went on, and even though, you know, that what Ohio State was able to do with a third quarterback in Cardale Jones and be able to come back and win a national championship off of that, I think Mark D'Antonio, for example, at Michigan State has done a great job where they're in a position now where they can go in and compete against the Penn States and Notre Dame, Ohio States, Michigan's of the world for recruits in the Midwest or in the East or even down South, where they have an established program and they've been doing pretty well for the last 3 years. I think Penn State still needs to get back to being Penn State. I think I would assume that everybody that's honest with the program where Penn State is now is not up to the standard that Penn State has for itself. I hope everybody would say that about the Nittany Lions, and we'll see if that's comes to fruition in the future here. But I think the Big Ten is a little more balanced. I think the coaching has improved, and when you bring Jim Harbaugh into the mix, what he does is he takes everybody out of their comfort zone, and he forces them to make a decision. If he's going to do satellite camps, do we do satellite camps? If he's going to try to outwork everybody, where is that going to take us? And that's what Jim is going to, I think, raise the level of every coach in the Big Ten. So lots of good things happening with the Big Ten. I think it has a bright future, and it's only going to get better.
You mentioned Penn State in that answer, Chris. They've obviously had to go through a recovery period just to get back to 85 scholarships. What do you see this program, its potential as to what it can do the next couple, 3 years?
I think it can be great, and I think it can be that standard that people want, and I'm assuming the standard that Coach Franklin and what everybody wants from that program is to win the Big Ten championship and compete for national championships. Mm-hmm. And if that's the goal and that's the standard and that's what everybody's working on to, they certainly have the facilities, they have the fan base, they have a beautiful campus, they have everything in place.
Right.
And to me, it's always, again, as I said, my dad was a coach, and I get that, and I played for great coaches. But ultimately, it's the players. The players have to play. The players have to be the ones that execute fundamentals under pressure. And if they can do that on a consistent basis, and they can go in and compete against Michigan State and Ohio State and Michigan and Wisconsin and compete at the level that they're used to competing at, then it shouldn't be too long. But everything starts with talent in recruiting. That's why Ohio State hasn't gone. I mean, you look at the roster, Steve, and you've watched them play ever since Urban's been there. But they're like the stormtrooper dudes in Star Wars, the white helmet guys. You get 50 of them go down, 50 of them look the same, come right up and take their place. It just doesn't end, and that's the key. For me, is how well that James recruits, and will those recruits live up to the potential that they're brought in to do, and that's play at a very high level.
Yeah, that's something, for example, I'll tell you the one area in that football team with Ohio State I've always looked at where something happens, and also in the two areas, linebackers and offensive line. It seems like they constantly have, when you think, oh, they got to replace three offensive linemen, that's one thing Jack and I look at each other and say, you got to be kidding me, that's what they had waiting?
Yeah, that's I obviously understand the struggles of the numbers that Penn State has been dealing with the past few years, but that's the luxury of an Ohio State program, and obviously there's good high school football in Pennsylvania, just like there is in Ohio, and Urban does a great job of getting the best talent available in the state of Ohio, picking and choosing basically who he wants. Then, they make waves in California, Texas, Florida, Georgia. they go down and they get the best guys, and they are able to take them out of the SEC country or ACC or the Pac-12. And that's what they've been able to do on a consistent basis. And when that talent gets here, there's such an environment, and this was what I think Penn State did not have because of lack of numbers. There's an environment of competition that goes on 365 days
right.
a year. Everything is measured. And when you have talent and guys fighting and clawing for playing time, you're able to get the best. If you have certain levels on your team where you have A players here, but no B and C, just D players, the A guys are never being pushed. And you know, it's tough.
Yeah, exactly. When you cannot, and look, I'm at every practice, so I can tell you right now, I've been watching for a couple of years. There were a couple of guys where you just sat back and said, look, if they were pushed a little bit, you might see more out of them. But that's now past, and they're moving forward to something else. College
right.
football playoff. It's at 4 right now. Do you like it at 4, or do you think there's a better number?
I like it wherever it is, and I'm not copping out on the question. I just have always been a guy that has embraced change as opposed to being afraid of change or, oh, my gosh, Woody Hayes didn't do that. Why are we doing that? You know, you have to change. or you get passed up. You know, to me, eventually we're going to – I don't know how you feel about this, but what are we going to end up with 4 major conferences, super conferences, and we'll probably stay – and have that 4-team playoff out of there. So we could go to 8, which, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with, but whatever comes, comes, and I'm happy with whatever it is because I think the playoff is healthy for the game. I think the amount of interest that it generates and the finances that it generates for leagues and institutions and TV and all that stuff, it's nothing but good in my eyes.
Yeah, in fact, you know, what's interesting about that answer is that I'm the same as you when it comes to, well, that's what the rule is. That fine. Let's see how exciting this can be and then go from there. I'm never really big on it has to be 8, it has to be 16. I'm whatever's in front, I think it gives them an exciting opportunity.
Yeah, I do think, and I tell my kids this all the time, that change is inevitable. It's coming.
Yeah.
How do you respond to it? Either embrace it or you resist it. If you resist it, you're going to struggle. If you embrace it and accept it for what it is, then you usually can do pretty well with it.
Right. And obviously, and like you've all had to go through it, so they understand that. For
right.
you, now, getting to the NFL, you're going to do the NFL on Fox. So what will the learning curve be like for you with 32 teams like that? And obviously, you'll get to see a bunch on a regular basis. And, of course, you know, your brother's obviously deeply involved.
Right. And I'm still involved with the Lions a little bit. I do some stuff with them. I certainly have a lot of knowledge coming into the NFL, and I do think some credibility at both levels, whether it's the NFL or college. So I believe it's going to be easier, in my opinion. First of all, I'm not going to have to study every quarterback every week. I mean, if I got the Packers and Vikings, I think I know who's starting a quarterback for the Packers. And I think I know
I think
who he does pretty
you're
well.
You're all good. Yeah, you're all good.
I'm good, you know. Now, if I come to an Eagles or a Steelers game, we'll have to see who's starting for the Eagles. But to me, it's a little bit easier because, obviously, I watch football and at all levels, and I know the NFL as well as I know college, maybe even a little bit better. So I don't anticipate any problems. I actually think it's a little less challenging because because of the everything that there's, you know, Twitter. With Twitter, there's news every day about a team, so it's not really difficult to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah. And when you mean there's news about every team every day, there is news about every team every single day. That's what the NFL has become. In college, when I do a game, obviously, I really only have to worry about who Penn State's playing that week. I got Penn State down.
Right.
What does it take for you to get ready for a college game where you've got to learn both teams?
So, for me, I usually start on Tuesday. I take Sunday and Monday off. And just start watching film and familiarizing myself with the roster. And the one thing that I learned from Sean when I was first starting out and I worked with Sean early in my career was just the respect of getting a kid's name right. Not how the coach pronounces it, because it's usually wrong. not how the SID pronounces it, because he's been told probably six different ways. So whenever we meet with a kid, that I want to make sure, I know this sounds so simple and maybe not very important, but I think the family deserves enough respect to have their name pronounced that they, the way they want to pronounce it. So I make sure that gets done, and I practice saying those kids' names and how they want it said. On Wednesday I'll watch more film. On Thursday I'll go to the home team practice. On Friday I'll get with McShay and we'll compare notes of the film study that we did during the week, and we'll watch film with a producer and a director. Then we'll meet with the home team. Then we'll go to the visiting team hotel if the coach is cooperative and wanting to meet with us on Friday night. Saturday, get up and do the game. And, you know, I have the easy job. I think the play-by-play guy has the hard job. My job is pretty simple because everything I do is reactive to what went on. The play-by-play guy, you know, here's Joey, and, you know, his sister comes from seven orphanages, and she's a, you know, CEO of a bakery company or something, you know. So, you know, and I have such respect for play-by-play guys like yourself or Paul Keels or Sean or Brad Nessler or whoever, guys that just make it seem so easy. And I know how difficult the job is because you got a million things going on and then different people in your ear, and you got to be ready to go at a moment's notice and be able to change voice levels and all the things that make a great play-by-play guy. So just for me, though, I just do my thing and get ready for the game and say, hey, this is what and this is why it happened, not what happened.
It's because Paul, obviously Brad, Sean are all great play-by-play guys. But you know what is interesting is the part you brought up about asking the kid. Like you, I can't begin to tell you the number of players I've walked up to and said, look, say it for me. And the best one I ever had, Penn State had a tight end named Matt Lehman. And I walked up to him, and it's spelled L-E-H-M-A-N. I said, hey, Matt, what is it? Is it Lehman or Lehman? He goes, it doesn't really matter. I said, Matt, it does matter. What does your family call? I said, come on. You got to help me here.
we get a lot of those. We got a lot of those. And one of the best stories I have, since you're telling me, this is some of the things that I heard. And I love this kid because I wanted to give him a hug. So, you know, we try to find out when we're meeting with a kid, and I'm not going to say from what school, and we were sitting there asking them, and Sean goes, so what are you studying? And the kid goes, well, I'm studying the stances, and I'm studying every tendency. So I wanted to say, finally I got somebody that loves football ahead of school. I love it. You know, usually you get marketing, communications, sociology, you know, whatever, community relations. I'm studying stances. That was beautiful, man. I love that kid.
Penn State had a kicker in the 70s, and Fran Fischer was the play-by-play announcer at the time, and he was doing the TV show that was in the state entitled TV Quarterbacks, and the kicker's name was Albert Vitiello. And I say it because everybody knows the story here. And so Fran asked him, he says, so what college are you in? And then he looks at him, he says, Penn State. like College of Engineering, man. Communications.
I love it, man. They're focused on their task. I love it.
That's exactly right. That's great. Hey, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it because we consider you to be one of the best, and this is a great move for you, and hopefully this will then be a springboard for even bigger, better things for you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you guys having me on. I really do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chris Spielman. He is one of the best. I just like that. Look, he just says it in plain English. That's why fans love to listen to him, because he just tells you what's going on. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Our thanks to Chris Spielman, and a great job by Sean Carey setting it up. Well, I mean, you like to have people on that you think are the best, and I think he's one of the best. I really do. I mean, he sits there, and Sean McDonough was a perfect compliment to him. I think Sean McDonough is going to be a great hire for them, ESPN, when it comes to Monday Night Football. But I don't blame Chris at all. I mean, Chris kind of looked around and said, look, they got Blackledge, and Blackledge is great. They've got Herbstreit. Herbstreet's great. And the door is going to be open here at some point. The Fox is going to be, the door is going to be open to Fox doing college football. They haven't officially announced it yet. Everybody knows, but, I mean, he's going to be over there. He's going to do the NFL for a year and maybe some Big 12 and Pac-12 games. But I think the door will eventually be open to him to doing college football and the Big Ten. He's just good at what he does. I really, really like him. John Solomon tomorrow. John's done a lot of work on the Baylor situation. He just recently did a story on Penn State. From CBS Sports, we'll have him on the show. Alan Bestwick tomorrow on the Indianapolis 500. Alan will be the play-by-play voice for the 500. By the way, Sean, did you get a chance to pass on the Alan Bestwick news to the Sooner?
I shot him a text last night when I got official word from ESPN that we would have Alan on tomorrow. And I think Kevin tweeted it in like under 5 minutes. Didn't take long.
Doug Gottlieb on Thursday, also shooting to have Ryan Snyder of Blue White Illustrated on Thursday as well. We may have an abbreviated week, but we decided to make it action-packed. Even the suit's excited.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I gave Sean my answer to the most dangerous animal in the world. I thought it was very simple. It was two words. I said, the suit. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. I don't care if it's commercial, business insurance, personal, whatever you need. They'll find you the best insurance for the best price. They'll make sure you're completely covered. They'll make sure it's in your budget. And if something were to happen, they act as if it happened to them. I don't think you can ask much more from your insurance agent. There's certain relationships you have to have that are really great relationships. One of them happens it really has to be with your insurance agent. It really has to be. And Purdy Insurance, that entire office of great people that will take really good care of you. I don't care what insurance you're looking for. Go to Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or purdyinsurance.com. Oh, I want a vehicle? Oh, it doesn't take long for me to say, let's go to SMC. First 100 years are pretty doggone good proof that they know what they're doing. Second 100 years are going to be even better. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports Bozo of the Day. The winner, Draymond Green. he doesn't expect to be suspended. Some people think he will be suspended for a game. We'll see. But I've never seen anybody stripped of a ball kick their leg out like that before. Winner. Meanwhile, 30 for 30. Have you seen this? There have been a lot of great 30 for 30s. 30 for 30s. There was an entire series, by the way, which will be a five-part 30 for 30 on O.J. Simpson, which will start June 11th, I believe. So there'll be a lot on that. And the most recent 30 for 30 was Believe Land, the story of the 52 years of misery Cleveland fans have gone through. Near misses, whether it's the Browns, the Indians, the Cavaliers. For some reason, they didn't include the Cleveland Barons in there from the NHL, but that's all right. Now they want to do something on Ric Flair. And so they're going to do a 30 for 30 on him.
That's interesting. Goes back to that dynamic we talked about a month and a half ago when the lead up to WrestleMania and all the coverage that ESPN was giving it.
Well, Rory Karp's going to be the one doing it. And he did I Hate Christian Leitner, and he did the Book of Manning. The Leitner thing was good. Other than the Book of Manning was outstanding. And they say that the Ric Flair documentary is going to run either 90 minutes or 120 minutes. They're currently editing right now. And Flair, three of his living children, his daughter is wrestling.
Yes, Charlotte. I think she's currently like the women's champion, last I saw.
Yes.
Not that I'm going to run home tonight and watch Raw for 3 hours, but...
And Sting, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, who was at the hockey game last night, Mick Foley, Ricky Steamboat, and Arn Anderson are all in it. And Hall of Fame announcer Jim Ross is in it as well. But ESPN is in. Now, I can understand, if you want to do a 30 for 30 that includes the life of flamboyant wrestler, I understand that. But ESPN is really in an interesting spot right now. You know, we just had Chris Spielman on. And I, if I were advising Chris Spielman, I would have told him to do the exact thing he just did and move over to Fox. Now, not that Fox is going to win and dominate and so forth. That's not the point. I mean, he's got, you know, when you've got a couple of great people in front of you and you yourself happen to be really, really good and Chris Spielman's really, really good, well, you want to get a little, you know, you want to position yourself. Well, he's done that. But the number of people that have left ESPN, Brad Nessler's not coming back. Mike Tirico's moved to NBC. Skip Bayless is going to Fox. And the list goes on and on and on. Of the people they don't have back. Of course, they already lost Olbermann. They already lost Simmons, Bill Simmons, Colin Cowherd, Whitlock.
And Robert Smith, who is a college football in-studio analyst, he'll be joining Spielman at Fox.
Yeah, and, but that makes sense. Look, Bayless is getting a lot of money to do this.
$5 million a year. Wow.
Tirico is going to NBC, where you've got the Olympics, the new Thursday Night Football package, and he's 20 years younger than Al Michaels. So I think that makes sense. I mean, some of these make complete sense, but Chris Carter's not, evidently not coming back. Ray Lewis is not coming back. And they've been doing certain things, for example, when it comes to... You know, SportsCenter, what I mean, SportsCenter, the Lindsay Zarniak SportsCenter is down 12%. Not a small number. And the they've done some of the work on, they've done more on WWE. I think they've done a little bit on esports. You feel like they're grasping at straws for whatever reason. I mean, do you watch SportsCenter?
I'll watch it here and there, and I'll look at the column on the left side of the screen just to see what they have coming up. It may be long enough just to catch the lead scroll at the bottom of the screen just to catch the quick headlines, see what's going on.
Look, it's a hard show to do. There's a lot, a lot of writing. Takes a lot to do it, but...
And it depends on who's anchoring, too. I mean, there's some anchors that I prefer, than others.
Well, I'm sure that has something to do with it. But I'll watch a lot of games. I mean, for example, yesterday I watched the Red Sox Indians game, and it was on MLB Network. All right, I watched that. I watched the Penguins game last night. All right, so I watch a lot of games. I don't like the chit chat stuff. I mean, I'm over here doing chit chat right now. but it's interesting because I'll listen to talk shows. I will listen to, obviously I've heard Mark's show many times, but sports wise, I'll listen to Dan Patrick. I think he does a great job. I'll listen sometimes to Mike and Mike. I'll listen to Shine on Sports. I'll listen to McElroy and Zauser on College Sports Nation. Sometimes I've listened to Feinbaum once in a while. Feinbaum's, and it's interesting. I'll listen to that, but I don't like watching studio talk shows. I don't like, for example, the Indianapolis. Kevin used to drive him up the wall when I'd say to him, he says, "Oh, I love the open and the whole thing." I'm like, going, "Look, just tell me what time the race starts." I mean, that's to me, that's like the ball game there. The ball game is when's the race.
That's what I did last night. I mean, I was waiting for 8 o'clock to roll around for Pens and Tampa Bay to come on, and right before eight, turned it on just to hear the quick intro by, Doc Emmerich, and hey, let's go.
Right. I mean, that's how I feel. And it's not that these people don't do really good work. They do really good work. They're really good at what they do, but it's never interest me. I've never had a great interest in the studio show for maybe 30 years. I just want to get to it. There's just so many. And, I think ESPN, is doing something that maybe a couple people think is progressive. I think is desperate. I think when you're desperate, you grasp at straws. And by reaching out to the WWE to do something about esports and things like that. Now, if they want to get the WWE contract and put it on at midnight, 11 o'clock, once a week, whatever. That's part of the programming part of it. If they want to do something, especially in the summertime, like an esports tournament and broadcast it, fine, so be it. As shows, but SportsCenter is a news show. Now, are there features involved? Sure, there are features involved. But when you start acting like the WWE is news, outside of, for example, like somebody gets hurt, that's news. I mean, that's like an entertainer, something happens to an entertainer. But to like preview WrestleMania, while it's an event and it's done around sports, it's not sports. And I just feel like they're grasping at straws, that they're panicking as to what, because people are cutting the cord, and I think they were riding high for such a long time, ESPN was, that when they hit a bump in the road, I think everybody looked at it and said, well, what do you mean? Well, how do we do this? And I think that's had a tremendous impact on them as to what they're doing. And like I said, when it comes to the talk shows, whatever, yeah, I'll listen to shows. Mike and Mike I'll listen to every once in a while, maybe late when I'm driving back, Freddie Coleman. I'll listen to Dan Patrick. Rich Eisen I'll listen to sometimes. You know, and I find all that stuff great. It's College Sports Nation. Mark Packer sometimes late. I mean, Jack Arut I've listened to. Chris Carlin, who does Rutgers, is doing a show now. Shine on Sports. I mean, I listen to all these things. And of course, we have Dan Patrick here at WKOK, and he does a great show. It's interesting how I can listen to that and be entertained by it. But a studio show leading up to a game where we're now breaking it down for the 18th time this week, I can't watch. Peter King, Sports Illustrated. Next three Super Bowls are going to be determined on Wednesday. And remember, one of them will be celebrating 100 years of professional football. Now, the next two Super Bowls are set. It's Houston and Minnesota. So then Super Bowl 54 is in February 2020. That is the one that celebrates 100 years of pro football. Right? They got together in that car dealership in Canton 100 years ago in 1920. So you've got the Dolphins and the Rams and Tampa Bay going after that one. Super Bowl 55 and 21, Rams and, again, Tampa Bay. And let's see, what was the other one here? Super Bowl 53, Atlanta and New Orleans essentially going after that one. Even though there's been some talk, you know, the Rams, the stadium won't be ready. Will it be ready yet? There's been some talk the Rams don't want it the first time through because it's enough just to have a new stadium open. Video study on the sidelines during games is going to be voted on. Why isn't this happening now? Why? Same thing in college football. Why not? Why not? These guys sit there and they look at still photos. When you see them looking at a Microsoft Surface, they are looking at still photos on a Microsoft Surface. Okay? They're not looking at video. I think people have seen them work on the Microsoft Surface and think that they're looking at video. They are not. They're not allowed to look at video. It is absurd. Now, there are some preseason games, and they've done this in the Pro Bowl, where they've been allowed as an experiment to watch video. Look, just do it. It's 2016. Even colleges should have video on the sideline. It's all right. Just like the manager in Major League Baseball should not have to sit there and send a coach back into the runway to see if maybe they ought to challenge a play. You should just have it right there in front of you. It gets ridiculous after a while. It's 2016. It's all right. Hey, Microsoft Surface, you can sit there, look at the video. Okay, we did this, we did that. Okay, we got to change that. Instead of looking at still photos, look at what they're, okay, great. I think Sean has a good smile here, don't you think? So they've got to do that. And there's a couple of other things that they have there that probably are not going to be worthwhile. I think they will talk about Las Vegas. The Redskins want to take the roster count down to one. They want the cut down to one. They want to, you know, right now you go from 90 to 75 after the third preseason game. Then after the fourth one, you go from 75 to 53. Washington wants to go from 90 down to 53 after the fourth game. And there's a lot of doubt that that will pass because there just isn't a lot of momentum behind it. So that's what they're looking at in the NFL rule-wise in terms of the cutdown. But the video thing on the sideline, right, and the same thing in college, let them do it. And for goodness sakes, it's not 1956, it's 2016. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. pick the make, model, and dealer all by himself and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. There's a reason why so many people turn to Purdy Insurance. In fact, multiple reasons. And the bottom line is they can find the insurance for you. I don't care if it's commercial, business, personal, whatever you need. They can find it for you at the right price that's going to fit your budget. Something happens, they act as if the claim is their own, personally. Having a relationship with your insurance agent is really important. And you need to have somebody that you trust and somebody that you feel is going to be working for you. Well, Purdy Insurance fits and checks every box. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best news of the day comes out of Pittsburgh. Pitt running back James Conner announcing today he is cancer-free. Thank goodness. Outstanding running back, but the great news is he is now cancer-free. He's had to battle a lot. And hopefully everything can stay that way. That's great. Okay, we were talking about use of video on sidelines. Look, they should be. I mean, I don't understand why you can't use it now. I mean, why is it Jack Ham and I can sit there in the booth, look at replays, check it out, and whatever the deal happens to be, okay? And, you know, on the sidelines, they're left in the dark. No. Shouldn't be left in the dark. When the quarterback comes over, the coach in the box and the quarterback in the field should both have the ability to sit there and look at something and say, okay, let's do this, 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 and this. And same thing with the defensive coordinators. Can sit there and go, let's look at this, 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 and this. They shouldn't be left in the dark. And the NFL is now considering, I mean, again, the NFL, this may surprise people. The NFL, when they look, you know, all those ads that you see for Microsoft Surface, and yes, the Microsoft Surface is what they use. But all they can look on that are still pictures. They're not allowed to look at video. I mean, that's absurd to me. It's 2016. Time to transition into the latest decade. I mean, to me, that's a far more important vote than where the next Super Bowl is going to be. Somebody will host it. And I think it needs to trickle down to college, too. And I also think if college football is going to make as much money as it's making, quarterback should have a radio in the helmet, and coaches should be able to communicate with the quarterback. I know there's an expense involved, but why not? They should be able to do it.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.